There's this great little story that I read to my kids when they were younger. It's The Happy Lion. The lion is content with his life in the zoo, but succumbs to temptation when a keeper accidentally leaves the cage door open and the lion strolls into town. The townspeople panic and run for cover, all except for one little boy who greets the big cat with a familiar fondness and leads him back to his happy home at the zoo. The Happy Lion is fiction, of course. Just how fictitious was shown by the Christmas Day tragedy at the San Francisco Zoo, in which one person died and two others were injured by a tiger who found a way out of her habitat. The investigation into the events of that day continues, and it's not clear at all that anybody connected with the zoo did anything wrong. But as I write this, there's talk of the potential for liability no matter what happened. And while there may be no definitive word on causation for a while, one thing is certain. This sort of thing has happened before, and courts are split on what to do about it. There's one key part of the law that needs explanation up front. If you own a big cat or any other extremely dangerous creature, it's highly likely that you'll be responsible for any damage that the dangerous creature causes, no matter what. That's because of a legal doctrine known as strict liability. The law looks at it this way. Owning a big cat is sort of like agreeing to be a depository for nerve gas. The thing you keep watch over is so incredibly dangerous and so volatile that you're risking your neighbors' lives in a way and to a degree that is extraordinary. If something goes wrong with that big bad thing, it seems only just to hold responsible the person who created that risk, and that's you. It's been that way with animals in the law for a very long time. It's well settled, a court wrote in 1904, that those who undertake to keep mischievous animals are liable for the animal's mischief, even if the owner acts with the utmost care. Liability is strict because it doesn't depend on any finding of fault by the owner. It flows simply on the basis of undertaking an activity, like owning a wild animal that causes harm. But as is often the case in law in many jurisdictions, there's an exception, and that's for zoos. Putting aside any additional possible defenses, like governmental tort immunity, zoos in some states aren't burdened with strict liability, even though they keep big cats and burly bears. To paraphrase a number of courts over the years, zoos keep wild animals not to indulge themselves, but to serve the public. They exist both to advance science and to serve as a place for public recreation. It's their duty and obligation to keep dangerous animals for our exploration, and they shouldn't be strictly liable for the keeping when we expect it from them. This means that in some jurisdictions, the zoo isn't automatically liable when something bad happens. An injured plaintiff must prove negligence on the part of zookeepers in order to recover for injuries caused by the animals. But that's not an automatic win for the zoo either. After all, as in The Happy Lion, when an animal succeeds in wandering away from its quarters, someone in charge is often at fault. And so when an elephant escaped from an Ohio zoo, when a bear escaped from an Oklahoma zoo, and when a coyote escaped from a Kansas zoo, the courts found that the zoos had possible liability for the resulting injuries. The good news is that there's no plague of these sorts of escapes. Those cases are both rare and old. And perhaps key here, there's a case from California in the 1950s that strongly sides with a zoo in rejecting strict liability for injuries caused by a polar bear attack on a visitor. We'll have to wait to see what happens. Tragically, the news headlines from San Francisco defied the storybook ending of The Happy Lion, but plainly reinforced the moral of the story, that nothing good comes, in life or in law, when zoo animals leave their quarters. I'm Amy Guida.